Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use. I'm the host of this program, Anne Baldwin, and it's good to have you along. And we've got a great guest in the house today, some great useful information so that we can all maybe hopefully better ourselves in more ways than one, but especially through food. We've got Marcy Moreau, and she is a wellness specialist and an integrative medicine provider for mental health. Now, that's a lot. And it doesn't stop there. She's also the food editor and director of sales for Lux Lifestyle and the Del Mar magazines, and you may have read her columns, The Power of Food and The Chef's Table. Marcy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Anne. So excited.
Yeah, I wish people could see how beautiful you look today.
Oh, you're sweet.
You know, I follow you on Facebook, and I'm always amazed by the great advice and the food that you cook. So let's start kind of from the beginning. How did you ever get interested in food? Not that we all aren't, right?
No, we all are. Well, especially for me. I guess food is such a backstory. I always say, like, I think I was born speaking the language of food. But when you grow up in a big Italian family, you really have no choice. It's how we do everything.
Yes,
we
it's the center,
life,
it's the connection.
And love,
right.
And we communicate through food. So it's always was a big part of my life. And became a big interest when I was 15 years old. I wanted to be in the restaurant world and be around food so bad that I started working. I lied and said I was 16 and got my first job at Chuck's Steakhouse in Rocky Hill. Great family, the Gallaghers that I worked for. And I was a dishwasher, and I was never more excited. But I not only lied to them about my age, I lied to my parents that I was working until my mother came in and was having lunch with her friends and saw me there.
Uh-oh.
And I had to beg her, please let me stay. And I continued in the restaurant world and continued with food. And you know, it's a good thing because food became, I always say this, my source of power. I was a young mom and had kids very young. My first daughter, I was 18. Subsequent, my second, I was 22. My third, I was 23, going on 24. And then in the middle of all this, my middle daughter, when she was only two, so I was barely 25, was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia.
Ugh.
So that, I was thrown into this world of oncology, and I turned to what I knew best, and that was food, to help her heal. So she went through bone marrow transplantation. It was years of healing, and during that time, so me and food and power have been kind of together since 1990 when all that started.
How is she?
She's doing well. She's amazing. She's in her 30s. She's living in Portland, Maine. She's loving life. She still contends with a lot of health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we manage it a lot. Over the years, I think you know you knew my second husband,
yes.
Michael Moreau. He was diagnosed during that time when Rachel was still healing with breast cancer. He passed away. It was just 6 years. And during that time, I became even more active looking at food, became certified in nutrition for integrative medicine, looked at mental health. I had started a nonprofit for children with cancer, so looking at mental health needs when people especially are going through illness. And now, which is so exciting, all the research is pointing to that food really is incredibly pivotal. So we have the hard science now that we didn't have. And I always say we have a platform to stand on. So
right,
it's
because,
great.
Well, you know, people think you're crazy until somebody else says it's true, right? And food can be such a good thing or it can be such a bad thing, right? And everybody's busy lives and the convenience of that. So what I hear you saying is what you eat really has a serious impact on your health.
Oh, it definitely does. It not only has a serious impact on your physical health, but on your mental health as well. So you can't separate one without the other. You can't have good physical health and not have good mental health. So we really need to be holistic in this approach. But the research now is really pointing to a way of eating. And it's not, I don't even want to call it dieting because I don't diet. I do nutritional counseling. I see people privately and I don't even have a scale where the concern isn't what you weigh or what diet you're on. The concern is looking at food as a means to provide optimal health and wellness.
It's what you put into your body.
It's what you put into your body. So we need to look at quality foods. And I always, people say, well, where do I start?
Exactly.
I don't understand this.
Well,
I don't know what to do.
It's not, where do I start? But where do I get it?
Right. And it's so easy. I always tell people, well, a good place to start is let's talk about what not to eat. You know, we all know, like, let's just eat clean. You know, we don't want the processed food. We don't want the manufactured food. We don't want the food that has the chemicals and additives. You know, we need to eat clean. We need to eat organic when possible. Local food is great. Get to know your providers and your suppliers. It really is a philosophy that you need to kind of just take into your life. And then from that, I always start people and say the foods that are better now are really focused on gut health. So if we start, and that's, I think that's our core of everything. So if we start at our core, at our central axis, it becomes easier. You know, it becomes easier to balance out our gut because from our gut, our physical health, that's where our seat of inflammation is. And if our gut isn't in balance, we're going to have more inflammation in our body, and we know that increased inflammation puts us at risk for cardiac disease, for more cancers, for even things like cognitive diseases like Alzheimer's, diabetes, that's considered as well now, and then all mental illnesses. So looking at our gut as a place to start makes it really easy. Food is very individual. What works for my body might not work for your body. So when I talk to people, I'm like, let's get a health history. Let's find out what's going on. A lot of times it points to the foods that work best for us really have to do with our origins, like where we came from. For me, not surprising, and I've done genetic testing you could have done for nutrition and what works best for your body. So I have the answers for me. So it's not surprising that a Mediterranean diet works well, and there are certain foods that I know just don't work well for my diet. A lot of dairy doesn't work well. A lot of, I'm not a big cream sauce type thing. I'm very big with limited red meat. I eat a lot of seafood. I eat a lot of greens. I eat a lot of like natural, but when I was younger, I had a grandmother that was making dandelion salads and, you know, all these type of foods. So I'm a big proponent on kind of embracing food. We don't need to villainize it. There's really nothing bad, but we need to figure out what works for our body and, like, eat cleaner so we can minimize. We come to the table with our own kind of package. We all have genetics because people talk about that. We all have health histories, but we can minimize our triggers and make our body as strong as it could be.
Well, that's great advice, and it's such a hot topic right now, and I know that you're also a writer for Lux Lifestyle and the Del Mar magazine, and The Power of Food is the name of the article that you write about, as well as The Chef's Table. So it sounds like, you know, people are starving, literally, for this kind of information. What are the kinds of things that you write about in your articles?
So The Power of Food, particularly, I love, it's a Q&A. So people can send in questions, and then we choose questions, what questions to answer, and I always say I answer it how I know best, and that's with food. So in the article, I'll answer a question and then have some sort of recipe to explain what, you know, what we're saying.
How
in the
cool
article.
Is it? It's kind of like Dear Abby,
yeah,
but with a bonus of a recipe,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Oh, how cool is that?
And it's about food. And at the end, if you want, you could give my email address so people can send in questions and we actually choose them and put them in the next issues, subsequent issues. So So that's great. But I mean, we get from all over. I mean, a lot now, especially post-COVID, it's a lot about disease. It's a lot about healing. It's a lot about wellness. A lot we're seeing an increase, and we always do, in certain types of cancers. So it is a lot about that. What can I eat? My son, my daughter, I'm going through treatment for cancer, and what types of foods are going to help me heal? We just did a big Power of Food wellness dinner at Saybrook Point back in November, and I had Dr. William Lee, which is one of the biggest cancer, and now he's in the food research world, came and was speaking to us. And it was on that topic, you know, the power of food. And what we're finding, and I use this to answer a question in Lux Lifestyle magazine, is we're looking at, and the research is pointing to, our gut bacteria. So when we eat foods that promote the healthy bacteria, so the good bacteria, and decrease the bad bacteria, we're seeing that a lot of people are responding better to some even chemotherapy meds. So if you now have an active disease, these are ways to strengthen your immune system to even fight the disease. There's some great new treatments out there, and they're getting easier and less toxic on the body. Great immunotherapies, which is smart. I mean, it's finally we're getting to the point that we're saying, okay, we are using our body's own immune system to fight these diseases. But sadly, only about 20% of the people are responding, and they didn't really know why. And now we are figuring out, actually this particular doctor was doing research at the Institute of Health, and in his vials, he sent the chemotherapies down, but he didn't want to tell anyone because he had a feeling that there are certain foods that would help. And he sent vials of extracts of certain foods. Well, the extracts of certain foods did better at fighting the cancer cells than some of the traditional chemotherapies.
Wow.
So it's really exciting.
See, it is exciting. So what is the biggest mistake that people make? Like, our listeners are going, what, you know, what are the top three things that we should not eat? Not for, you talked about your background, your Italian background. I mean, I grew up in Iowa and Colorado, four kids, didn't have a lot of money.
Sure.
I grew up on that processed cheese.
Sure.
And to this day, I love my processed macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to tell you, it's funny because I'll have people come to me, I don't feel good, I have headaches, and you know, we try to figure it out, and then I say, well, we're going to do a food history, like a food diary, for just a few days, write down what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come back, and I had this, I had that, I had the processed cheese, I had the processed this, I went to, I don't, you know, to this fast food place, that. And I said, well, basically, I think I know your problem. You didn't eat food, you ate plastic and a lot of chemicals, and I'm not surprised you have a headache, and at the very least.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I think, you know, the top three things of what not to do, and I like to tell people what to do.
Okay.
I like to do the glass half full, but no, we have to start at
okay.
The processed food is a definite no. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything that is processed with chemicals and artificial colors and dyes, I mean, artificial colors and dyes are really tragic for, you know, for even kids. And when you look at what a lot of kids are even bringing to school
yep.
for snacks,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that certain snack crackers are really popular. My kids, oh my gosh, they always said, we're never getting invited to a birthday party because we're the biggest nerds. We have to have all natural fruit roll-ups if they wanted one. I mean, those type of things, we just can't. Not only does some of these artificial colors and chemicals increase inflammation, that goes without saying, but they actually have been shown to cause behavioral problems in children, increase ADHD. So it's funny, you go on a field trip sometimes and there's a lot of children that are on meds for, you know, ADHD.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need conventional meds. I'm all for that too. And then if you look at what they're having for lunch, I'm like, maybe we just need to eat different mm-hmm. food. Maybe mm-hmm. we need to eat better food.
You know, and I always, when I go to the grocery store, I always see people standing in the aisles reading the boxes, and I think those people are crazy. I'm like, you know, just buy the damn soup, you know, but they stand there and read the label first. you know, but now I'm, you know, with all the things I'm hearing about the additives and the chemicals and everything else, you know, to preserve the shelf life of these things, it makes sense. Yeah. It really does make sense. Yeah. But it's more effort. It's a little bit more work. I mean, so you go to a restaurant. You have a meeting today. You go to the restaurant for lunch. What do you order? Is it easy to order healthy out or not?
It is. You know, I'm very big in organic food. So primarily everything I can buy organic, I will, down to condiments, down to all different things. I make a lot of my own because it's really easy. You have a blender in your house. You can make a dressing in 2 minutes. You don't need to buy a bottle dressing with all the additives. But when I go out, and I do go out a lot, I mean, my husband was in hospitality, I tend to just eat cleaner. I eat seafoods. I'll eat a lot of salads. I eat veggies. I mean, we have a lot of great restaurants in this area. And I know a lot of the restaurant owners, and I think a lot of people in hospitality are getting more and more interested in real food, and they are utilizing that as well. So I tend to stay away from chain restaurants. If somebody dragged me in there, I might have a hissy fit and cry or something. But
I can't tell you the last time I had a McDonald's anything. Yeah. You know, I have gotten better at all that. You know, it's just so interesting, you know, this life that you're living now. And again, I'm so sorry for the loss of your husband.
Thank you.
And the good news is your daughter's doing well. All right?
Yes.
So that is good. So how can people contact you if they have a question or if they want to read your articles?
Sure.
What's the best way for them to reach you?
So probably the best way to reach me is I do have a website. Mm-hmm. So it's marcymoreau.com. Little egotistical to name it after yourself, but easy.
Hey, the name of my company is Baldwin Media, and I'm Mia Baldwin,
like,
so don't you ever be ashamed about that.
I love egotistical women. We need to do that.
And to spell Moreau, it's Marcy, M-A-R-C-I, M-O-R-E-A-U.
.com. Correct.
Pretty simple, and we'll give that out at the end of the show, but we got a few more minutes coming up. What's your best piece of advice for people out there listening right now? I mean, are we in trouble health-wise? I mean, should we be using our microwaves? You think you can hear all these things. It's like, it's scary.
It is scary, and I would say, you know, I'm not an alarmist, but I've had to deal with having illness in my life and help people heal since I was 20-something years old. So it's been a long road and a long journey. I spent a lot of time in hospitals. I see what's happening. So we need to attend. Yeah, we need to attend to our health. And I think going back to our origins and going back to food, it's kind of our pharmacy. We put food in our body. And if we think about it and we're choosing the right foods, that's our power. If we eat three times a day, great. If we graze, if we eat more, if we have snacks. But it's an opportunity to heal our body and to power it up as opposed to poison our body.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're putting it right in there. And I don't think we think about that as much as we should.
Right.
It's like smoking. It's like drinking. You're putting that into your body.
Right.
You know, and you're just hoping for the best. And really, you should be better than that.
Yeah. We need to attend to that. And what I always tell people, there are ways, really easy ways to jumpstart is, you know, you want to look at cleaning up your body first. This is a process. You need to learn about food, what foods work for you. I'm a big advocate of juicing because I think people, you get the biggest bang for your buck. So you get a juicer, you start putting together some healthy juices. I have some kind of template recipes, but quite honestly, I save, if I'm making a salad and I have the ends of the carrots, I'll just throw them in a bowl, and the ends of cucumbers, I throw them in a bowl, and whatever I have the next day, I'll kind of juice. I use a lot of fresh ginger roots and garlic and turmeric root. I use that together in mostly everything because they have huge anti-inflammatory, anti-disease, I mean, antiviral. So what I think we need to do is attend to and listen to the fact that, yeah, we are in a climate now that, you know, we've come out of COVID, we have viruses, people are talking about long COVID, what's going on with that? And we need to make our bodies as powerful as they can be. And the first line of defense for me is always food.
Wow. So you get to travel around and you get to talk to some famous chefs as part of your writer responsibilities. How exciting is that? Who's the most famous person you've interviewed so far?
Oh, we've had a lot of chefs. Just recently, the next write-up that will be coming out in the next week is Chef Jeremy Ford, and he's down in Florida, and he was on one of the top chefs, and I mean, they're all amazing, and they've worked under great hospitality individuals from all around the world. So these are people that worked under Alain Ducasse from France, and you just meet really interesting people. But what I always say is I want to talk to the most passionate chefs, so not necessarily the most popular chefs. And I want to talk about their backstory. And at the end of the interview, my stock question I always say to them, and this is where you get like really good information, is, hey, chef, what does your table look like? And they could do what they want with that. What does it look like? Who's at your table? And you get stories of their families yeah, what they're eating. And it's great fun. It is.
That's just a great way to end up an interview. You know, when I usually do interviews, I just say, is there anything else you want to say? But if you give something more specific, especially as it relates to food, I bet you do get some amazing answers. So are you happy with where you're at? Do you feel like you're being able to spread the word now? At least there's more vehicles out there in the space than there were, let's say, 2-3 years ago. And I think COVID had something to do with that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, definitely. I think COVID actually is the reason why I did full steam ahead with this. Prior to COVID, I had started a food company, and we were doing a line of superfoods, like organic sauces, and first sauces in the country that had turmeric root, and it was amazing. And we got into some pretty great platforms, grocery stores, and were ready to onboard. And literally, COVID happened, and all onboarding, as you remember, what happened in grocery stores stopped. So I had an entire production run and thought, okay, what am I going to do with this? It just donated, which was a time to donate. We ate a lot of sauce. I donated it everywhere. And then I said, okay, we need to rethink, because, you know, doing food production post-COVID was very expensive, still is very expensive. We couldn't even get the glass and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I did a pivot, and I took myself and my youngest daughter, and we went for the summer out to the Hamptons, because the demographic of wellness during that time, everybody flooded out there. And I started doing Power of Food seminars, and I went anywhere and everywhere anyone would listen to me and start talking. And it just kind of caught on. And my first article I started writing was with Christina Cuomo in The Purist. And from that article, other magazines saw, and here I am. So I am happy. I think there's so much more work to do. I think we can make such great changes with food. Mm-hmm. I see people healing their bodies, healing their minds, healing trauma. You know, we're all broken, and I think food is a great way to fix us.
Yeah. We got to take a look at that.
Yeah.
And this is an important message. I'm taking it in.
Good.
Because
I hope so.
I really
am. Are you going to throw out your mac and cheese?
Well, I don't know about that. But I am going to show you, because I drink 10 of my Stanleys. But you know what I put in it is meal, the orange meal. So I'm going to have you look at the label before you leave here and tell me if I'm poisoning my body, because I would like to know that.
Okay.
So again, if you want to reach Marcy, and she can give you lots of great information, there's great information on her website. It's Marcy, MarcyMoreau.com. But remember, Marcy also mentioned you can send in your food questions and maybe they will get answered. And that is Marcy@LuxLifestyleMediaGroup, and that's LuxLifestyleMediaGroup.com. I may send in a question.
I'll answer you.
So what is your bottom line message for the people out there listening? We've got about a minute left.
Sure. All right. Well, without trying, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think if people are looking out there to, you know, strengthen their bodies, strengthen their souls, I really think it's just important. Just take a look at food. You know, my mantra is always, the power of food. And I have personally found great power in my journey. And the act of what you eat is important, but the act, just remember, the act of sharing food and preparing food and having that as a way of expressing yourself forms a nice community too. And mm-hmm. I think now, importantly, all of us need ways to stay connected. So there's the power, you know, it just keeps growing.
It does, absolutely. Yeah. Well, your articles are great. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Keep up spreading that message of hope and the power of food. Marcy Moreau, we appreciate you being on the show. And, of course, we couldn't do it without all of you, our listeners. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use here on WTIC AM 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin. We'll see you next weekend.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.